Chapter 4. What is leadership? How is leadership defined? New leaders often come into the role with a vague understanding of how they might perform in such a position and what it is all about. As intimated above in earlier chapters, they probably have had no experience in leading, except perhaps in a local sports team or on a committee of some sort. They may have attended the occasional talk or presentation on leadership, but generally speaking, they certainly have not had any formal training in what leadership really is and how to perform effectively. Furthermore, leadership has been defined in numerous ways, and sometimes it depends on who you might talk to as to how leadership might be perceived. It is probably true to say, however, that in this day and age, the old-style autocratic or dictatorial form of leadership, or being a benevolent dictator, has given way to a more collaborative, democratic style of leadership. Some of the more pertinent definitions of leadership that might be helpful for a new leader are given below. The legitimate use of power to achieve outcomes on behalf of a group of people. Jock Cameron, National Student Leadership Forum, Parliament House, Canberra, 20th of September, 2012. A leader is best when people barely know he exists. When his work is done, his aim fulfilled, they will say, "We did it ourselves." Laozi's, 6th century BC, philosopher of ancient China. Leadership is not defined by the exercise of power, but by the capacity to increase the sense of power among those led. The most essential work of the leader is to create more leaders. M.P. Follett, The Creative Experience, Longmans Green, 1924, page 3. A leader is like a shepherd. He stays behind the flock, letting the most nimble go out ahead, whereupon the others follow, not realizing that all along they are being directed from behind. Nelson Mandela, South African, anti-apartheid revolutionary, political leader and philanthropist, 1918 to 2013. Leadership is the art of getting someone else to do something you want done because he wants to do it. Dwight D. Eisenhower, 34th President of the United States, 1890-1969. As we look ahead into the next century, leaders will be those who empower others. Bill Gates, American business magnate, author, investor, philanthropist, and co-founder of the Microsoft Corporation, 1955. A good person is a person who takes a little more than his share of the blame and a little less than his share of the credit. John Maxwell, American author, speaker and pastor, 1947. Become the kind of leader that people would follow voluntarily, even if you had no title or position. Brian Tracy, Canadian-American motivational public speaker and self-development author, 1944. Average leaders raise the bar on themselves. Good leaders raise the bar for others. Great leaders inspire others to raise their own bar. Orrin Woodward, entrepreneur and author, 1967. Outstanding leaders go out of their way to boost the self-esteem of their personnel. If people believe in themselves, it's amazing what they can accomplish. Sam Walton, American businessman and entrepreneur, 1918 to 1992. If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. John Quincy Adams, 6th President of the United States, 1767 to 1848. So, what is the theme running through these quotes? Can you pick it up? There might be more than one theme, but what is the predominant theme? The overriding theme here is that leadership is about growing others, developing others, boosting others, and empowering others. Leadership is about getting out of the way and encouraging team members to stand up and develop themselves, perhaps in ways that they never would have imagined. People remember not what you did, but how you made them feel. Darrell Cross. Leadership fails. Typically, leaders who fail at building support from their followers do so in a number of ways. Don't fall into these traps. Number one, there are autocrats or dictators who are typically ruled by their own need for power or control, where they use a megaphone to blast a point of view without making anyone around them any smarter and, if anything, cause their followers to withdraw and hibernate. Occasionally, they also play favourites with some of their followers and in turn create cliques. They can be termed bullies or tanks in that their message is simple. They count and you don't. Their opinion is right and yours isn't. Don't blow off another's candle, for it won't make yours shine brighter. Jackanamara, N.E. Agu. Number two. There are the egos, where they are self-centered and so concerned about themselves and how they look that it is indeed all about them. They may well take the credit for work done by others and then blame others if it does go wrong. They do things for their own ends, and maybe they take shortcuts to achieve their own purposes. These leaders lack any kind of emotional intelligence and are normally self-centered, perhaps to a point of being narcissistic in terms of their own self-importance. Number three. There are the abdicrats, where they allow the free flow of democracy in such a way that it becomes almost an anarchy of misalignment. Generally speaking, in an endeavour to please or because of their own lack of confidence, they tend to go overboard to gain consensus, and not surprisingly, the team loses its way without any clear direction. Sometimes, too, they are just past caring, for various reasons, or have given up and the ship becomes aimless without any rudder or guidance. Number four. There are the control freaks or micromanagers who closely monitor and critique the work of their staff. They can be overpowering in their management style and most people feel suffocated by them. This management style may be due to an overinflated ego. My way is best. My way is right. Or due to a case of perfectionism, both of which are debilitating to those who work for them. Number five. On the other hand, there are the indecisive managers who simply don't make decisions or don't provide direction where it appears that there is a lack of control, with constantly changing priorities, moving deadlines, and an absence of focus. These individuals are often afraid to make mistakes or afraid to take risks of any kind. Needless to say, staff frequently feel lost, powerless, and frustrated. Number six. There are the time-poor managers who never have enough time and who spread themselves too thinly across their role. Often, they either don't have enough resources or they don't delegate effectively, believing that they need to do it all themselves or be across everything in minuscule detail. Number seven. There are the lack of detail managers who give their direct reports the big picture, but who have not thought through the detail and leave too much open to interpretation. This leaves staff floundering and sometimes means that staff start to question their own self-confidence since they are not able to grasp the project or task at a practical or realistic level. Finally, number eight. There are the impulsive managers who tend to make decisions quickly without considering the consequences or thinking things through. Not surprisingly, projects can become unstuck very quickly and become messy. This management style is unnerving to staff who are cautious and who don't trust the manager, which means that morale is often low and employees feel insecure and uncertain. Instead, leadership is a paradox of power in that it is top-down but interactive, command and control but participatory. It is a combination of leading from the front, while at the same time supporting from the rear. Yes, it might be difficult to find this line as a new leader, but the emphasis is not on you, but you encouraging and growing those around you. There is a term for this form of leadership. It's called transformational leadership. Leadership that transforms followers. Professor Bruce Avolio, in his 2011 book titled Full Range Leadership Development, highlights the notion that the core of effective leadership is about trust, and transformational leadership is one prime way to achieve that trust. Without it, leadership is non-existent. Let's explain that further. In Avolio's model, there are two main components, transactional leadership as well as transformational leadership. As a new leader, you will no doubt will focus first on the transaction part with a view to moving across more into the transformational part as you gain greater confidence and experience. Transformational leadership is what you would aspire to. So let's briefly expand those terms. Transactional leadership is about transactions, i.e., getting the roles and expectations clear, having job descriptions that adequately portray the job, setting the lines of authority and responsibility, and getting the structure right within the team. Furthermore, this would also involve setting team objectives and action plans and having performance indicators to monitor progress. First and foremost, though, would be the vision and mission for the team. What does success look like in the future? What do we want to achieve? The vision is like a guiding star. Mission is about purpose. Why do we exist? What do we do? Who do we do it for? Where is the team headed? How does it intend to get there? Without the transaction base, expectations are often unclear, direction is ill-defined, and the goals you are working toward are too ambiguous. So, getting the transactions right consistently in what we have labelled transactional leadership is essential to becoming an effective leader and having an effective team. Working off this as a solid base, the leader then turns to the transformational aspect of leadership. Transformational leadership involves the process where leaders develop followers into leaders. This is a conscious goal. The leader has a development plan in his or her head about each follower and has worked out the plan in conjunction with the team member. Such a plan might involve training and development or coaching and mentoring, as well as holding the team member to account for reaching their goals and showing courage when necessary to reach those goals. It might even mean rewarding the staff member for going beyond what was originally indicated or for showing initiative or for being innovative, for example. Before you are a leader, success is all about growing yourself. When you become a leader, success is all about growing others. Jack Welch. Such leaders stimulate challenge as opposed to suppressing it when it arises. They work to leave behind a team, an organization, community, or even society that is better positioned to succeed than when they first began their work. They are moral agents who focus themselves and their followers on achieving higher level missions and purposes. The higher levels of identification result in higher levels of commitment, trust, loyalty, and performance. If you as a new leader honour all your various transactions with people, over time they come to trust you. It is these higher levels of trust versus straight compliance that transformational leadership uses as its base for being able to achieve exemplary performance according to Avolio. In practice, this seems to work well. Leadership is about relationships. In essence, leadership is a relationship. As J.M. Coases and B.Z. Posner say in their 2002 book, Leadership Challenge, it's a relationship between those who aspire to lead and those who choose to follow, page 20. Sometimes the relationship is one-to-one. Sometimes it is one-to-many. Irrespective of the number, leaders must master the dynamics of this relationship. Leadership is an influence process. Leadership is not about titles, positions, or flowcharts. It is about one life influencing another. John C. Maxwell. At any time you're trying to influence the behavior of someone towards a goal, you're engaging in leadership. This is so no matter whether you're a politician, a CEO, a parent, a teacher, a sports coach, or a minister of religion. Ken Blanchard asserts that leadership is about moving people from dependence to independence in pursuit of a goal. However, he considers that there are some prime requisites here. First, leadership is about going somewhere. If you don't know where you are going, your leadership doesn't matter, i.e., transactional leadership. Second, it's about implementation. Certainly, leaders need to give their people vision and direction, but they also need to work to get their people to move closer to their destination. Finally, it is about serving and supporting, i.e. transformational leadership. In this way, leaders serve their people by guiding and cheerleading them as their needs require. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. Author unknown. Positive leadership. Everyone likes to think that their leadership can be positive, and much has been written on leadership and what leads to successful leadership. In fact, there are more than 70,000 books on leadership in print and rising. However, the positive leadership model proposed by Professor Kim Cameron from the University of Michigan is distinctive because it is entirely based on validated empirical research. Hence, it is worth taking time to consider what this model says. He has written numerous books, but you may like to read Positive Leadership, published by Barrett Kohler Publishers in 2012. In short, there are four components to his model: positive climate, positive relationships, positive communication, and positive meaning. They are all defined below. Remember that every aspect of this model is based upon significant research over decades. Component 1. Positive climate. The explanation? Creating a positive climate is resisting the tendency to concentrate primarily on the negative, threatening, or problematic, and instead emphasize positive phenomena by turning problems into opportunities. Research shows a significantly higher performance at work when a positive climate exists. The key activities? Number 1. Modeling and fostering compassion. 2. Encouraging collective forgiveness. 3. Encouraging expressions of gratitude like visits, letters, and cards. Number 2. Positive relationships. The explanation? This is more than people just getting along or avoiding toxicity. Instead, it is enabling positive relationships at work, which impacts not only their emotional and physiological health, as well as life expectancy, but positively enhances the performance in teams. The key activities? Number 1. Assisting staff to contribute to the benefit of others rather than merely receive support. 2. Network with people who are positive energizers rather than energy vampires. And 3. Helping staff become aware of their strengths. Number 3. Positive communication. The explanation? This is about using affirmative and supportive language instead of negative or critical language. Research showed that the single most important factor in predicting organizational performance, which was twice as powerful as any other factor, was the ratio of positive statements in teams to negative statements. The key actions? Number one, best feedback is not about targeting improvement in weaknesses, but about uncovering a person's strengths as perceived by others. And two, having crucial conversations that focus on the behavior and not the person. Number four, positive meaning. The explanation? When people are pursuing a profound purpose or engaging in meaningful work, significant positive effects are produced, including reductions in stress, depression, turnover, absenteeism, dissatisfaction, as well as increases in commitment, effort, engagement, happiness, satisfaction, and a sense of fulfillment. The key actions? Number one, showing workers the effect of their work on others. Number two, highlight connections between what is meaningful to individuals and the benefits produced by the organization. Number three, highlight the long-term impact of the work. And four, build a sense of community by contributing towards others such as charities. Leaders versus managers. Is there a difference between being a manager and a leader? Two sources listed below and anecdotal evidence certainly says that there are definite differences. Although it is true to say that most of the leaders that I coach would aim to fluctuate between the two, it is important to recognize where you are at any point in time. Are you leading or managing? Mostly, as a new leader, you will be managing, and trying to get your head around that is more than enough for most new leaders. But, as we have intimated, although you might spend most of your time managing, there may be on occasions times when you are actually in the leadership mode. According to the 1994 article in Management Review by G. Kapowski, titled Anatomy of a Leader, Where Are the Leaders of Tomorrow? The different characteristics between a leader and manager were as follows. Leader versus manager is visionary versus rational, passionate versus businesslike, creative versus persistent, inspiring versus tough-minded, innovative versus analytical, courageous versus structured, imaginative versus deliberate, experimental versus authoritative, independent versus stabilizing, shares knowledge versus centralizes knowledge, trusting versus guarding, warm and radiant versus cool and reserved, expresses humility versus rarely admits to being wrong, initiator versus implementer, acts as coach, consultant, teacher versus acts as a boss, does the right things versus does things right, leadership development versus management development, vision, values, clarity of mission, teamwork, managing change, communication and culture versus, for management development, we have financial acumen, project strategy, organizing skills, process improvement, financial control, and information technology. For leadership development, it's all about when it ain't broke may be the only time you can fix it, versus management development, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Furthermore, J.P. Cotter, in his 2001 Harvard Business Review article titled What Leaders Really Do, depicted the differences between leaders and managers as follows. Leadership versus management. Copes with change versus copes with complexity. Leadership is first step to set a direction, developing a vision for the future and strategies to achieve it, versus first step is to undertake planning and budgeting, setting targets or goals and steps to get there. Leadership It's about achieving the plan by aligning people and communicating the new direction to coalitions and teams who are committed to making it happen. Management is about achieving the plan by organizing and staffing, organizational structure, jobs, staffing the jobs, communicating the plan to staff, delegating, devising systems to monitor implementation. Leadership is about achieving a vision, which requires motivating and inspiring and keeping the people moving in the right direction. While management is about pursuing the plan accomplished by controlling and problem-solving and monitoring results via meetings, reports, etc. So, you can see the trend emerging here from both these authors, and Drucker expresses it well in the quote below. Management is doing things right. Leadership is doing the right things. Chapter 4 Summary. What is leadership? How is leadership defined? Leadership has been defined in numerous ways, and sometimes it depends on who you might talk to. A number of definitions are given that depict how leadership is perceived. However, the overriding theme is that leadership is about growing others, developing others, boosting others, and empowering others. Leadership fails. What gets in the way of real leadership? In short, autocrats or dictators, and those whose egos are all about them, while on the other hand, it is those leaders who abdicate responsibility and are laissez-faire, as well as those being time-poor, control freaks, indecisive, lack detail, and who are impulsive. Leadership that transforms followers. Ultimately, it's about developing followers into leaders. This is a conscious goal. The leader has a development plan in his or her head about each follower, or has worked out a development plan in conjunction with the team member. Leadership is about relationships. Leaders must master the dynamics of relationships because leadership is an influence process. Positive leadership. This model by Professor Kim Cameron outlines the four main components to positive leadership, including 1, positive climate, 2, positive relationships, 3, positive communication, and 4, positive meaning. Each of these areas are explained, and the key activities associated with each area are outlined. Leaders versus managers. There are differences, and although you might spend most of your time managing, there may be on occasions those times when you are actually in the leadership mode.